So we're up to Lamed Vav and Aleph. We're 18 lines on the bottom by the two dots towards the bottom of the middle. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Tzlaf shel Arla b'chutz la'aretz, Zorik asav yonos la'uchel asa kafrisis. So the din is, if you have a caper bush, right, that's of Arla in chutz la'aretz, so you have to throw away the berries, meaning the actual fruit, but you're allowed to eat the husk, the stuff around the fruit, because that doesn't have the status of a fruit, so even though it's technically Arla, but you're allowed to eat it because it's not really a fruit. So asks the Gemara, Lememra da avionos pere the kafrisin lav pere? Does that mean to imply that the berry itself is a fruit, whereas the husk is not a fruit, right? So the Gemara says, Reminu, we have a contradictory brisa. It says, Almine nitzba, al ha'olim v'yalat smaros omer bari pri adama, al avionos al kafrisin omer bari pri ait. So this brisa says that if I have this kind of fruit, so when it comes to the, let's say, the leaves around the fruit, and or the dates around the fruit, so then you're going to make a bari pri adama. But when it comes to the berries and the husks, then you make a bari pri ait, right? In other words, that means that even the husks, the outside of the fruit, apparently have the status of the fruit itself, because v'harai, you're making the ha'itz on it, so that implies that it's actually like the fruit. So the Gemara says, Hu d'amar k'Rabbi Akiva, this nun, Rabbi Eliezer, omer tzlaf mis aser, tamaros va'avionos v'kafrisin. Right, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to take meiser off of the entire caper bush, meaning even the leaves and the berries and the husks, everything. In other words, he thinks that everything is called a fruit. Whereas Rabbi Akiva already knows, Ein masaser el avionos bavan me shupri. According to Rabbi Akiva, just the berry is called a fruit. The rest of the thing, in other words, the husks protecting the berry, does not have the status of fruit according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara asks, the name halachah Rabbi Akiva, so what did we just say? That's what we pop. In other words, that we follow Rabbi Akiva. No, Iyamar halachah Rabbi Akiva, if we had said that, Hava, I mean, I would have said, Afilu ba'aretz, that we even follow Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Israel. No, Kamash Malan, Kalamiko ba'aretz, halachah kamoso v'chut. So ba'aretz at the din, when it comes to mitzvahs like tzvuyos ba'aretz, the things that depend on Eretz Israel, in other words, things that are dependent on the land, mitzvahs that are only Roshach and Eretz Israel. So whenever someone's makel about one of the mitzvahs like tzvuyos ba'aretz in Eretz Israel, so we always follow in chutzars. Meaning, even if we don't paskin like the makel shita, when it comes to Eretz Israel, but we can be so mechanim in chutzar, it's avo ba'aretz lo. But we would never follow the Meiko Shita like Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Israel itself. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'nei ma'alach Rabbi Akiva v'chutzalar, it's the chol ha'meiko ba'aretz alach ha'kamotz v'chutzalar. So why did the Gemara say that? Why don't the Gemara just say that we pass like Rabbi Akiva in chutzalar, it's where we're so mechanim? So the Gemara says, no, Yom Rachi, because if we said that, Havamir, I would have said, Hanimile gabi meiser ilan, that would only be true when it comes to taking meiser off of a tree, right? Deba aretz gufa midrabanan, because the whole notion of meiser on a tree, right? Meiser ilan, meiser yarek are things that are only midrabanan in the first place, right? Midoraisa, you only chayv and trumas and meiser is on dagan tirosh v'yitzer, grain, wine, and oil, right? But midrabanan, there's a chiyuv to take off on fruits and vegetables also. So the whole institution of taking off meiser on ilan is only drabanan, even in Eretz Israel. Aval gabi arla, deba aretz midoraisa. So but when it comes to Arla, the institution of Arla in Eretz Yisrael is really a din d'oraisa. So one could have argued that when it comes to Arla and Chutz La'aretz, we should make a gzeira that not to have Arla and Chutz La'aretz because of gzeirim come to have Arla and Eretz Yisrael. So the chiddush is no, we're mekel here also in Chutz La'aretz even by Arla. Whereas Ravina Ashkechei Lamar Baravashi, the Kazarek Avionos Akacha Kafisi. He saw that Mar Baravashi was throwing away the berries and eating the husk around the fruit, which is what we said in the Gemara before. So Amarle Maidateich, he says, what's your reasoning? Why are you doing that? So Rabbi Akiva, the Mekel, because presumably you're following Rabbi Akiva Shita, and he's Mekel, and therefore you have the right to be Mekel in the Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Veliyavin Mar Kebe Shabbat to Mekel Tzvei. So once you're being Mekel anyway in Chutz La'aretz regarding Arlo, so why not be even more Mekel and follow Beishabbat? It's not because the Mishnah says, Tzlaf, when it comes to the caper bush, so this Mishnah says the following. It says, when it comes, there's a machukas, Peshabi, Beshilo, whether there's a violation of Kilei HaKerem when it comes to a caper bush, right? In other words, they argue whether you would violate Kilei HaKerem, planting Kilei in a vineyard for a caper bush. If I mix, let's say, the caper bush with some other fruit, but everybody agrees that it's not going to be a problem of Arla. I'm sorry, everyone agrees that the caper bush is going to be chayv and arlo. So the Gemara says, Hagufa kasha, it's a stira. Amar tzlafe shamayom kelayim echarem alam in yareku. So on the one hand, Shammai says that you could violate kelayim in a vineyard. If you violate kelayim in a vineyard, that means that this is considered to be a vegetable. It's considered to be a fruit. Vahadar tani eil veil vodim shechayim arlo alam in ilo. Then you tell the turner, no, you really chayv and arlo. Chayv and arlo, that means that it's a min ilo. That means that it's a tree. So which one is it? Is it a carom or is it an ilo? So the Gemara says, "Hello, Kasha. Bishami sapuke besapkeluhu. Va'avdi hachal lechomer v'hachal lechomer." Bishami wasn't sure. He wasn't sure what the din was. So therefore, he was machmir in both directions. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but mikol makom le'bishami haveli sfeik arla utanai." When it comes to a situation of sfeik arla, sfeik arla in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to have, because that's a sfeik doraisa, because arla in Eretz Yisrael is an doraisa. So therefore, sfeik arla is going to be a problem. Uvis Surya mutter. Surya, right? In other words, when you're in the part of Eretz Yisrael that was annexed on by David HaMelech, that was only added on as kibush yachin. In other words, David HaMelech conquered parts of Syria as part of an individual conquering, and therefore those lands don't have the status of full fledged Eretz Yisrael, but they have partial kedushas haaretz. So there you're allowed to eat the arla, but in uvachutz laaretz yored velo keach. In other words, outside of Syria, and regular chutz la'aretz, it's even more meikel, because there we assume that you're actually allowed to go down and take the arla, knowing that you're having arla, as long as you don't actually go ahead and sell it to someone and make it clear that you're selling it. Meaning, for example, if I go into somebody's field and there's a possibility that it might be arla in his field, I'm allowed to eat the arla and chutz la'aretz, even like, I don't have to ask questions. If I know bevade that it's arla, then it's going to be usher. But if there's a possibility that it's arla, I don't have to inquire after it. I'm allowed to eat it even like achila. So the Gemara says, so the first question is, why wasn't he even more meikel? In other words, I understand why he was meikel like Rabbi Akiva, right, to say that there's no arla here, but why wasn't he even more meikel like Mishalai? So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Akiva b'mkom Rabbi Eliezer avdilan kvasei, Risham b'mkom Bisila ina mishnah. He says, no, because yes, we can follow Rabbi Akiva in place of Rabbi Eliezer. You can follow his kulot. But when it's machlokes Mishalai Bisila, we're not even machshe Mishalai as a shita. In other words, to say that we're meikel like Mishalai in halacha doesn't mean anything, because we never follow Mishalai in halacha. So just because Mishalai has a shita as lakula, we're not going to follow it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Typically, the Nasa Shomer Lepri, Rachmana Amar Va'araltem Arlaso is Pirio, Esatofa Lepirio, my new Shomer Lepri. Why not say that anyway there's going to be an Isra Arla here? Because the Pasuk says that Arla applies to the fruits, and not only that, the Gemara extends that to Es Pirio, so the word Es comes to include the Shomer Lepri, meaning the husk, the protective part of the fruit. So therefore, there's a din of Arla that applies to the husk as well. So it sounds like that everyone should agree to this. So how come the Gemara didn't say that? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rava Hicha Mir Nasa Shomer Lepri, when do we assume that the husk has the status of something which guards the fruit? Hicha de Isei Be Metolish Be Mechumer. That's only true if the husk remains on the fruit even when the fruit is detached from the tree. But Hacha Be Mechumer Isei Metolish Leisei. But here, the husk is no longer going to be on the fruit once it's detached. It's going to fall off from the fruit. So the Gemara says, one second. Isei Abaye Pit Masha Rimon Mitzarefes Vehanit Shaloin Mitzarif. There's a din called Tumas Ochlin. The halacha is that in order for a fruit to be Mekabel Tuma, the fruit has to be at least the size of a kibetza in order for fruit to be Mekabel Tuma. So the question is, well, what goes into that shear? How do you calculate the kibetza? So this Braisa says that the stem of the fruit, the stem of the pomegranate, for example, would combine with the fruit, but the nates, meaning to say the husk, the protective part, the rind, in other words, that the peel of the pomegranate is not going to combine. So the Gemara says, so don't you see, therefore, that the protective part of the fruit is not considered food? Because otherwise, it should be mitzari if it should combine for the shear of a kibetza for Tumas Ochlin. And the Braisa says that the protective part of the pomegranate or a nut or whatever it is, those things that protect it are chayav and arla. So don't you see, therefore, that those really are considered to be the status of it? So it seems to be a stira. So when do we assume that the husk has the status of a protective part of the fruit? That's only when the husk is there, even when the fruit ripens. But this husk falls off when the fruit ripens. The fruit gets ripe and it's ready to be plucked off the tree, so the husk falls off. So if that falls off, that's not really called a shomer lepri. It wouldn't combine for tumas ochlin. So ask the Gemara, is that really true? So when it comes to maschale, are basically the protective parts of figs or of dates. In other words, so those protective part of the dates, in other words, the husks of the dates are called arla, but they have the status of a shomer lepri. So we ask, a shomer lepri re emas have, when do they become a shomer lepri? The kufra, when they start to ripen, right? The kakari lay shomer lepri, and you see, even when the dates are small, they're not yet ripe, so these are called the shomer lepri. So you see that even when a fruit is small, it's not ripened yet, it still has the status of a shomer lepri. That's against what we said in the Gemara before, because before we said that it's only a shomer lepri if it stays on even when it ripens, not if it falls off beforehand. So the Gemara says, no. Rav Nachman suffer like Rabbi Yosi, Tisnav Rabbi Yosi Omer, Smadar Asher Mipenei Shupri. According to Rabbi Yosi, if I have a fruit that's a tiny fruit that just began to bud, and it's not yet ripe, so according to Rabbi Yosi, that's still called a fruit. We'll have all the halachas, even regarding Arla. The Gemara says, well, please, Rabbi Arla, but the Rabbi disagree with Rabbi Yosi on that regard. The Gemara asks, "Maskeflar Rav Simi Mina Harda uveshari lani mi pligi Rabbanan alei." Do the Rabbanan really disagree with Rabbi Yosi when it comes to other fruit trees? The Hasnan meima sayin kotzitz in esayin lanus b'shvias. At what point are you no longer allowed to cut down fruit trees during the shmita year? Because the din is that you're only allowed to eat a peru shmita, but you cannot destroy peru shmita. Right? Lo'ach level olahevsin. So at what point are you no longer allowed to cut down those trees? So the Gemara asks, "Machlokes b'shamayomrim kolei lanus b'sheyotziu." From the moment they start producing fruit, that's when you're no longer allowed to cut them down. Then you're
destroying the tree. No, it depends on the tree. Every tree is different. A carob tree is going to be when the carobs start to produce, and a grapevine is when the grapes start to come out, and the olive grove when the olives start to bud, and every other tree and every other tree is from when the fruits start to come out. So Amar Ravasi, who boser, who garua, who pull alavan. So Ravasi says that those are all the same shear. Meaning when the Gemara refers to a bud that comes out of a fruit, so he says that's the same thing as a garua, which is also a shear of a bud for a grape, and a pull alavan, which is a white bean. So the Gemara asks pull alavan sanka daitach. Why are we mentioning white beans here? We were talking about the shear for grapes. Elaima shiuro ki pull alavan. It means that the size of these buds, in order to be called a significant bud, it has to be the size of a white bean. So the Gemara asks, "Man shama slay d'amar boser in smadarlo." Who is the shita that holds that only something which budded is considered to be a fruit, but something which is not yet ripe, but it's still a tiny little fruit, hasn't ripened yet, that's not a fruit? So the Gemara says, "Rabbana." That's the shita of Rabbana. V'katane yishar kol ha'ilanos mishayotziu. And yet the Braisa says that when it comes to all other trees, so we assume that they have the status of a fruit from the time that the trees start, that the fruits start to come out, that they start to produce. So Elo Amar Rava, Hichar Mina Dehavi Shomer Lepri. When do we assume that the husks have the status of a Shomer Lepri? In other words, that they're a fruit. Hichar Dechisha Kaldei LeShomer Mayis Pera. That's when, if I remove the husk, the fruit will die. But Hacha Kisha Kaldei Lo Mayis Pera. But here, when you removing the husk will not destroy the fruit, therefore it's not called a Shomer Lepri. So the Gemara says, Hava Uvda V'Shakluah Lenetz Derimona V'Yavish Rimona V'Shakluah. So one guy took off the stem of the pomegranate, and the pomegranate withered and died. And the other guy took off the part of a certain kind of a nut, and the nut was fine. It stayed the same. So you see that depending on the fruit, so certain fruits need the husk to survive. They need the outside to survive. Other fruits don't. So if it needs the fruit, the husk to survive, then it's called the shomer lepri. Otherwise, it's not fine. So skipping the parentheses, where it says, what bracha do you got? Popole, pepper, right? Ground up pepper. So Rav Sheish Amar Shahakol, and Rav Amar Loklo. He says there's no bracha on pepper. But Azda Rava Letame, this is Rava Leshitasa, right? The Amar Rava, Kas Pilpale Biyoma de Chipure Pater, Kas Zangvilo Yom de Chipure Pater. Rava holds a person chews raw pepper or raw ginger on Yom Kippur, so he's pater. Because Rava holds that regular pepper is nothing. So that's why he says that there's no bracha on pepper. So asking Mar Meisvei, Hayy Rami Meir Omer, Mimash Moshe Mar Va'ar Ralta Mar Loso Es Pirio. Pasuk says that there's a din of Arla, Inio Deya Sheitz Ma'achalu. So I already know we're dealing with a fruit tree, because it says you have to take off Arla from the peros, right? From the fruits. So Elamatamad Lomar Eitz Ma'achal. So why does the pasuk specify there's a fruit tree? Right? In other words, we already know it's a fruit tree. So the Gemara says, Lahavi Eitz Shatam Eitzo Pirio Shaveh. Because it's including a tree whose bark and fruit taste the same. Ve'ezehu seha pilpul. That refers to ground pepper. L'lamercha sha pilpul and chayavin ba'arla. So first of all, it teaches you that you're chayavin arla for pepper, which implies that pepper is really some sort of a fruit. U'l'lamercha shein eretz yisrael chasera klum. It also teaches you that eretz yisrael is not lacking anything. Shein eretz yisrael parsha ikev. Eretz ha'shalovim izkenus tochal ba'lechem lo'sech sar kolba. It says that eretz yisrael is a land which is not lacking anything, and it's not lacking any food. So, but what do you see from here? You see that pepper is something which is chayav in arla, and therefore pepper is called a fruit, and therefore you should be chayav to make a bracha. So how come Rava says that pepper is pater from a bracha? That there's no bracha. So it says not lokasha habiritivsa habiyavesta. If the pepper is moist, then it's edible, and then they make a bracha. If it's dried up, so then you don't make a bracha. So Amri le Rabbi Lemereimar kas zangvil biyom dechipure pater. Is it really true that if I chew ginger on Yom Kippur, I'm pater? The Ha'amar Rava hayhimlasa. The Asya Mibe Hinduai Sharia Mevarchin Al A Bori Priya Dama. So Rava says if a person has Himlasa is some sort of a paste that's a mixture of honey and ginger and stuff like that. So that if that came from Bay Hinduai from India, so that's permissible. In other words, there's no isr there of Vishal Akam that would be permitted to eat. And you make a Bore Priya Dama on that. So in other words, there's a mixture, that mixture of Himlasa contains ginger in it, and you're still making a bracha, right? So that seems to be against what we just said. How can you say that if a person chooses ginger on Yom Kippur, he's putter, implying that ginger doesn't have a bracha and it's nothing? You see from this Braisa, according to Rava, you do make a bracha on this paste. So the Gemara says, Lokashya, Habiritivsa, Habiyavesha. Once again, it depends whether it's dry or moist. On the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So in other words, it depends if it's dried or moist. So if the ginger is dried up, so then you make a bracha. If it's moist, you make a bracha. And it's considered to be a food. If it's dry, so then there's no bracha. So the Gemara says chavetz kedera v'chein daisa. So these are different types of porridges. So chavetz kedera is a porridge that has a lot of honey in it. So the question is going to be the Gemara. Well, maybe the honey is the primary part of the porridge, and daisa is just like regular porridge. So the Gemara says. What bracha would you make on porridge? So Rav Yehuda over Shahakol Liyav Devaro, Rav Kahana over Borei Mi Devizon. So the Gemara explains. But that is a great, the Kulei Avalu Pligi, the Borei Mi Devizon. So everyone agrees by regular porridge, right? Just, you know, regular oatmeal porridge, of course you make a mizonos. Ki Pligi, but Daisa Ke'en Chavetz Kedir. But the question is, what if my porridge has a lot of honey in it? In other words, it's very, very sweet. I put a lot of extra stuff into the porridge. So that's the Machlokes. Rav Yehuda over Shahakol, why? Because Samar Dov Sheker, he says the honey is the main part of that, of the mixture. Rav Kahana over Borei Mi Devizonos, Samar Smidik, he says no, the flour is the main part of there to make mizonos. Rav Yosef Kfasei de Rav Kahana Vistab. Rav Kahana makes more sense to make a mizonos. Why? Because Rav Ushmo Dari Travayu Kol Sheyesh Bami Chamish Yisamid Mevarchem Laborim Bnei Mizonos. And this famous, as we're going to talk about now again, that anything which contains any one of the five grains automatically has a mizonos, no matter what other things are in that mixture. So according to Rav Kahana, according to Rav Yosef, we say that you make a mizonos no matter what, no matter how much honey you put into the mixture. Gufa Rav Ushmo Dari Travayu Kol Sheyesh Bami Chamish Yisamid Mevarchem Laborim Bnei Mizonos. So this price says that anything which contains any trace of the five grains automatically has a mizonos. The Edmar Navi, Rav Ushmo Dari Travayu Kol Shehu Mechamish Yisamid Mevarchem Laborim Bnei Mizonos. This other price has a little bit of a different lashon. It says, as opposed to Kol Sheyesh Bo, which says any trace amount, Kol Shehu means even the slightest amount of one of the five grains would warrant the mizonos. Like Gemara says, Utsrich, we need both of these statements. The Ashvid of Kol Shehu, if we only said any slight amount, Havim and I would have said Mishum Deisei Be'enik, because at least there, the slight, even though it's a tiny amount, but at least it's a whole piece of spelt, barley, oat, rye, whatever, right? But one could have argued that if one of the five grains gets into a mix, like in the case of the porridge, for example, so maybe that's not enough reason to make a mizonos. No, kamash malon, kol sheishmos. Therefore, we say no, that any trace amounts of the one of the five grains is also enough to warrant a mizonos, even if you can't see it, even if it's mixed up together with something else, with other things. And on the other hand, the eshmino kol sheishbo, if we only said things that have slight a trace amounts, havamino kol sheishbo chamish hamin in, aval orez v'dochan lo, mishum da'ayde taroves. So one could have argued, yeah, those five grains require mizonos, but when it comes to rice or millet, which is like orzo, those things perhaps don't require mizonos because they're mixed with other things. Aval isei be'ene, but if it's something which is by itself, it's not in a mixture. That neima filu orez v'docha na'am b'varchan lo barim mizonos. What could argue, even rice and millet you make a mizonos on? Kamash v'lo kol shu mechamish tamiru hu d'varchan lo barim mizonos. Va'afuke orez v'docha da filu isei be'ene lo b'varchin on barim mizonos. Where it says, but that's to the exclusion of rice and millet, which you don't make a mizonos on. So where it says, what are you talking about? Va'orez v'docha lo b'varchin on barim mizonos. What are you talking about? Of course you make a mizonos on rice and millet. Va'hasadia hebiu lefana pas orez u'pas docha b'varch alav. Right? So the Gemara says that when if let's say they bring you a rice bread, right? So a person eats rice bread, so the Gemara says you make amotzi on rice bread. So you make amotzi on rice bread, that means obviously on regular rice, you're making mizonos, right? So the Gemara says, kebaisa kedera. In other words, you're making a bracha just like a baisa kedera, just like a thing cooked in a pot. In other words, a regular dish, which would warrant a mizonos or hamotzi. But God baisa kedera time, the Braisa says, v'tchila mevarech olav borei minei mizonos, l'mizon mevarech olav bracha achas mei yitsholosh. So don't you see that rice does, of course, require a mizonos? So the Gemara says, no. Kebaisa kedera v'lo kebaisa kedera. It's somewhat like the thing is cooked in a pot, but it's also a little bit different. On the one hand, kebaisa kedera demevarech olav tchila v'sof. Yeah, it's like a baisa kedera that requires a bracha rishon and a bracha achrona, but on the other so by regular mizonos foods, you make a mizonos and an alamichya. The iluhacha betchil mivarech alav shehakol niyam dvaro l'so borei nefashos shabos lachesronan al kol mashabara. As opposed to here, where the bracha is shehakol and borei nefashos. The Gemara says, one second. For orez lav ma'isa kederu, is rice not called a ma'isa kederu that would warrant a regular mizonos and an alamichya? For hasad, the Braisa says iluhein ma'isa kederu. The following is considered to be a ma'isa kederu. Chilka targis solas zaris va'arsan va'orez. So the first couple of things in the Braisa are talking about types of wheat that are divided up into different parts. Right? Wheat that's divided up into a half, a third, a quarter, a fifth. And then there's also orez, there's also rice. So you see that explicitly for this price, that rice is called a ma'isa kedera. So why don't you make a mizonos and an alamichya on rice? So the Gemara says, no. Hamani Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This price says like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Nesadia, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer, orez ben daganu, v'chayav en alchi mutso kare, so adam yotze boideh chavasa mefesa. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, orez, rice, is a regular grain. And if I eat rice on Pesach, I'm chayav kares, right? And if I use rice matzah on Pesach, I'm yotze matzah, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Because he thinks the rice is a regular grain. So that's this price. But the Rabbana disagree. They say, no. They say the rice is not called a regular grain. The Gemara says, really? For Rabban and Lova, Hasadia, Hakose Sesachita, Mevarech Aleha Borei Pri Adama. If a person chews raw wheat, we saw this yesterday, chew raw wheat, you make Hadama on that. Tachanafa, Bishla, if you grind up and bake and cook the raw wheat, so that depends. Bismacha, Prusos Kayamos, if the pieces of bread are still intact, you can tell that it's bread, so that Betchila Mevarech Aleha Hamotzi Lechem and Arz, and those Mevarech Aleha Gimel Brachos. So if the pieces of bread are intact, you make Hamotzi, and then you have to bench. If Ena Prusos Kayamos, if the bread is not intact, you can't tell that it's a piece piece of bread, so that betchil mevarech ala borei min mizonos l'mosol mevarech ala bracha achas meyishosh. Then you make a mizonos and an alamichya. On the other hand, we see how koseis as a orez if you chew raw rice, so mevarech ala borei pri adama. But tachan afal bishul, if I grind it up and I cook it, so afal bishul prusas kayamos. Even if the pieces of rice are intact, I can tell that it's rice. Betchil mevarech ala borei min mizonos l'mosol mevarech ala bracha achas meyishosh. So Mari, who's the author of that brisa? Ilei Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, the Amar orez ben daganu. If it's like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri who said that rice is really called a grain, but the problem is hamotzi lechem in haaretz. The shalosh brachos by baruch. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, you should be making hamotzi and benching on rice, and not making mizonos and alamichya. El alav rabbanani utiyufta the ravu shmuel tiyufta. So he says, look over then. This is the opinion of the rabbanan. The rabbanan are going to tell you that you make a mizonos and an alamichya on rice, which is against that which Rav Shmuel said, because Rav Shmuel said only things that have traces of the chamish samina. So rice is not one of the five grains, and you're still making mizonos and alamichya. So this price of the lechor is against Rav and Shmuel. Amar bar hakosis is achita mevarech ala borei pri adama. We say if you chew raw wheat, you make adama. So this is really vasanya borei mitei zrayim. Did the price say that you make a bracha borei mitei zrayim when you chew raw wheat? Lo kashi har Rabbi Yehuda v'harabana. It's not val yirakos over borei pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda over borei mitei disham. We already explained the opening mission of the perek. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why you make a borei mitei disham on regular vegetables is because Rabbi Yehuda has a shita that you have to make brachos as specific as possible. You can't just make borei pri adama is too vague, it's too general. Borei mitei disham is much more specific bracha. So here too, when you're chewing raw wheat, borei mitei zrayim is a much more specific bracha. Also, that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say you make this bracha called borei mitei zrayim. Amar bar hakosis is a orez mevarech alav borei pri adama. So if you're chewing raw rice, you make adama. But talk anu afo bishlo. If I cook it, so afo bishah prusas kaiyamos betchil mevarech alav borei mitei mizonos ulu v'sof bracha achas meyichos. So if I grind it up and I cook it, so then I make an alamichya and I make a mizonos and alamichya. I v'asayni ulu v'sof alok klum. Doesn't the brisa say that as the bracha achrona? Doesn't the brisa say that there's no bracha achrona on rice? What's the bracha achrona you're supposed to say on the shiva samina? Let's say I'm eating grapes. I'm eating a pomegranate thing. So according to the Rabbi Gamliel, you have to bench every time you have shiva samina. When we pass the chachamim, you make an alai. So that's the bracha achrona you make according to the chachamim. Who buys the Rabbi Gamliel the haskenim? They were eating in the attic in Yericho. They brought in front of them figs. The achlo, they ate the figs. So that's what Rabbi Gamliel reshus to Rabbi Akiva Levarich. So Rabbi Gamliel gave permission to Rabbi Akiva to lead the benching, right? Because he holds you have to bench on the Shiva Sabinim. So kafatzu birich Rabbi Akiva bracha achas miyachosh. Rabbi Akiva, following the Rabbana, decided to make an alait instead of benching. Amar le Rabbi Gamliel Akiva, an masay atamachnis rosh chabein alachlokas. How long are you going to stick at this machlokas for, right? I pass that you're supposed to bench on the Shiva Sabinim. So what are you doing making an alait? Amar le Rabbeinu, afapishat overkein vachav hirecha omrukein limatano Rabbeinu yachin v'ram alakarab. He says you're right that you said that, but you've been outvoted, right? The chachamim or the rabbim have outvoted you in this regard. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo, Kol Hushehu Mishiva Saminim, the low min daganu. So something which is one of the seven grains, but it's not one of the five grains of right. In other words, it's not one of the five grains. Oh, min dagan velo asaopas, or it's one of the five grains, but it wasn't made into bread; it was still raw. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shalosh Brachos Hachacham Omer Bracha Achas. So that's machlokas whether you have to bench or only make an alamichya or an alait, depending on the case. Kol Sheino Lo Mishiva Saminim velo min dagan. But let's say something is neither the Shiva Saminim nor is it one of the five species of grain could go and pass or as a dough. Let's say like rice bread. So Rabbi Gamliel Omer Bracha Achas Meyichos. So Rabbi Gamliel says you make an alamichya. The Chacham Omer Velokum. The Chacham say that there's no bracha achron at all. So the verse is 1 second. Bemayu Kiptik Rabbi Gamliel. Why do we have to establish the brisa as following Rabbi Gamliel that you have to make an alamichya? Eva Seifa Dereisha. Look at the middle case. If Eina Prusas Kayamos. He said let's say the pieces of bread are not intact. You can't tell that it's still bread. Betchil Mevarech Ala Borei Minim Zos. Losom Mevarech Ala Bracha Achas Meyichos. We said that in the case of the rice bread, if you can't tell the pieces of bread are intact, you make a mizonos and an alamichya. So, Mari, who's the author of that brisa? I Rabbi Gamliel Hashdako Samos VaDaisam Rabbi Gamliel Gemo Brachos Semena Prusas Kayamos Mibaya. Rabbi Gamliel says that you have to bench even on dates and on porridge because he holds that whenever there's a trace of anything, right, even on the Shiva Saminim, you bench. So, of course, Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that you're going to bench even if the pieces of bread are not intact, right? For sure, he's going to say that. Elab Shita Rabbanan. So, obviously, then. This has to reflect the opinion of the Rabbanan. But the problem is, Yehaki Kashi, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. If this is the sheet of the Rabbanan, then we seem to have a contradiction about what you're supposed to say. Are you supposed to make an alamichya or no bracha achron at all? So the verse says, no. Elo liolam Rabbanan. Really, this price is the Rabbanan. Today, Gabi Orez, Ulevesof, Inum Mevarech Alav Aloko. You have to change around the gears of the price. The price really should have said that the bracha achron, when it comes to the rice, is the Veloklum, which we think at this point means nothing. We'll see later on in the Gemara that Veloklum probably means Borei Nefashos. But at this point, we think the Veloklum means that there's no bracha achron. Amar Rava, riata de chaklai, de mavshe be kimcha, mevarich borei mine mezona. So I have this type of porridge, this type of dish, but it's made by the people from the village. So, and so in other words, it has a lot of flour, as opposed to the previous days where there was more honey. So here you make a mezonos. My time, this need the acre, because here clearly the flour is the primary ingredient. The mechosa, the lo mavshe be kimcha, mevarich alav shakol yivadvaro, my time a duv shaker. But let's say I have the porridge that comes from the city of mechosa, so there where they add a lot of honey, then you make our shahakol, because there the honey is the primary ingredient. The hadara, but Rav that said no. Ed bori mizonos. Rav said no, it's not true. Even the one with a lot of honey is also mizonos. Why? The Ravu Shmuel Dami Travayu Kol Shiyus Bechamisha Samina Mevarchet Al Bori Mizonos. Because we said before, according to Rav Shmuel, anything which has any sort of trace of the five grains, no matter how much other stuff is in that mixture, you make a mizonos no matter what. So Amar Rav Yosef, Haichavitza de Ispe Peruin Kezai. So let's say I have this type of dish, right? That has, in other words, it's basically like some sort of stuff that you cooked inside of a frying pan. Let's say it's like French toast. So you made inside of a frying pan. So he says, if the French toast has, let's say, peru and kezias, there are pieces of bread that are the size of a kezias, but so then you have to make hamotzi, you have to bench. But the least big peru and kezias, if I don't have, let's say, pieces of French toast that are the size of a kezias, then you make a mezonos to the nala mechia. So how do I know that this distinction is true? So the following situation. Let's say you have a Kohen who's starting to do Avodah for the first time. So part of the process of his doing the Avodah for the first time is that he has to bring what's called a Minchas Chinuch. He has to bring his inaugural Karban as part of the Avodah. So part of the process, so first of all, he has to make a Brach of Shechiyonu because he's doing this, a new thing for him. He has to bring, make that Brach. Then the Gemara says, Notlan. Now, when he starts to eat the karmen mincha, he has to make a hamotzi because he's eating a concoction of flour, right? Flour and oil. The Tanya, the Brisa says, v'chulan posts on kezayis. All of the breadcrumbs, the pieces that he's eating from that karmen mincha, have to total a kezayis. So that seems to imply that only when I have a kezayis do I make a hamotzi. If I listen to kezayis, presumably I make a mezonos. So I'm really buying 1 second. If that's true, l'tanya de Rabbi Yishmael, d'amar porchanat shemachzirun l'sultan hachen amidu l'boy baruch hamotzi lecha minarz. But what about according to Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael says, let's say I grind up the flour to the point that it's just powder, and then I want to put it back together to the point where it's now going to be a kezayis. So would he also say that you're not going to make a hamotzi? Yeah, maybe he says you don't make a hamotzi in that case. That's not true. V'asani, the Brisa says, let's say I gathered in all the scattered flour from the karmen mincha, and I totaled the kezayis, and then I ate it. So im chamitzu anush kari. See, matzu adam yotzei bodei chos in Pesach. So in other words, that's really called bread. In other words, to the point that if I eat it on Pesach, I'm chayim kari, so it's chamitz, and to the point that if I bake it as matzah, I'm yotzei mechiv. So l'chora, that's called real bread. And actually, kahamutzi on that. So no, hakam b'mayaskin b'shei eros. So the case is, I took the flour that was crushed up and I made it back into a dough. I repasted it into a dough. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Ihakim asifa u'shachla mechtei achilas. The Gemara says that the only time that you have to make an alamich, make a bracha achrona, is provided that you eat it b'chdei achilas pras. This is talking about the din that if a person, let's say a person stays in a house that has tumah. Let's say there's a house that has a dead body in it. So the question is, how long do you have to be in that house in order to become tumah? So the Gemara has a shear that if you're in the house long enough that you could have eaten achilas pras, a piece of bread, so then you become tamei. So the question is, v'ibish erson hai sha'achlan sha'achlomi ba'ele. If the case was where I put all the scattered dough back into one big paste, so the Brisa should not have said that I ate them, I ate the various pieces of dough, it's just that I ate it, because now it's one piece of dough. I put it back into one piece. So the Gemara says, no. Ha'kamayaskina bevami lechem gadol. The case is where the various scattered pieces of bread come from a larger piece, and therefore it's called multiple pieces of bread. So my ha'kamayaskina, what was the conclusion? In other words, what is the bracha at the end of the day? So Amar Rav Sheshes, Hai Chavitza, when it comes to this this dish we call the French toast, Afagav Delis Peperu Kezayas, even if I don't have a Kezayas, Mevarech Alav Hamotzi Lechem. Not talking about it, you make Hamotzi, but Amar Rava, V'hu Dikale Turisa Denam, provided that it looks like bread, it has to have the appearance of bread. If the mouth doesn't look like bread at all, then you would not make Hamotzi. If it looks like bread, even if it's less than a Kezayas, you would make a Hamotzi. The Gemara says, Trokinun Chayav and Mechala, V'chiyasa Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan, Trokinun Peturim and Echas. So what is this? My trukinun. Amar Abayi, kuva da'aras. That means that basically you take bread and you put it inside of some sort of a frying pan or some sort of a pot, and you pour, let's say, the batter, the dough batter, into the pot, and you let the dough batter kind of cook in the framework of the pot, and it becomes bread. So machlok is whether that's chayiv in a freshes chal or not. Amar Abayi, trisa p'tura miracha. What's my trisa? Isu ikad amre gavil mirata, agvil mirateach. In other words, you basically take this mixture of flour and water and you mix it together on the oven and you let it cook. That's one opinion. Ikad amre nama de hindika. It's bread that comes from India, so that's made by roasting it on the spit with oil. And then ikad amre third shita is that it's lechem ha'asu l'kutach. Kutach was a mixture that they used to make at times of the Gemara, which had moldy yogurt. Moldy bread, salt, and some sort of like rotting yogurt. It was just like all things that were basically going bad, but they used it as a dip, basically. So the Gemara says that the bread was used for kutach. So the bread is used for kutach, it's not chayav chalak, because kutach bread is not really edible. So the Gemara says, one second, Tani Rabbi Chia, lechem, so the kutach patr ben achala, aiva tani chayav chalak. But the Gemara says, like, lechem for kutach is chayav chalak. No, hasan kidding tani taima, Rabbi Huda Omer, maase mochichen oleha, right? In other words, that you, it's clear from the context of how you're making the bread, whether you want to use it for bread or for kutach. So the Gemara explains, asan ka. It depends how you made the bread. If you made the bread like rolls, they look like bread rolls, so that clearly you want actual bread, and then it's going to be chayav and afarshas challah. But if you made them like these boards, in other words, you don't really care about the shape, you don't really care that it looks like bread, so it's going to be patur chag, because clearly you don't care about the shape of the bread that you made. So Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef, hi kuva da'ara by mevarchet ilaveh. So the stuff we saw before, the kuva da'ara, right? The mixture you pour into the pot to let it make, form into bread. What's the appropriate bracha to make on that? So Amar le Misfaras na'amahu, kuva ba'amahu, mevarchet ilaveh. He says, you think that's called actual bread? No, he says, that's not bread. That's just a mere concoction. That's just a mere mixture. And therefore, the bracha is going to be mezonos. Bar Zutra kava sudasi ilavei, uvarich ilavei, amulti lechem in arts, shodrach. But Bar Zutra was kovei asuda on this stuff, on this kuva da'ara. So even though kuva da'ara technically is mezonos, but Bar Zutra, because he had so much of it, he had a whole meal on it, so he made amulti and he benched afterwards. Ava bar baravashi. Ava adam yotzei bohani dechowas of a pesach. He could be yotzei matzah with kuva da'ara. My time a lechemuni karina, because that's called lechemuni. It's called lechem, so therefore that's why he made a hamotzi. My time a zeabamus. The extracts of dates are shahakol. So even though dates themselves are haitz, but the juices that come out of dates are going to be shahakol, because that's zeabalma. Zeabalma means it's just the extract. It's not the actual fruit, and therefore it only warrants a shahakol. So come on, who does that go like? Ki haitana. The Snan the Mishnah says, Devash tamar v'yei tapuchim v'chometz sif vanios, sharmei peros, shel truma, Rebbe Eliezer Michaev, karev v'chometz, Rebbe Yeshua poter. So let's say you have honey, the extracts of dates. So you have apple cider. You have certain types of grapes that were late in the season. Those grapes are never going to ripen. Or you have other sorts of made peros, right, fruit juices of trumas. So we know the halacha is that a non-kohen is not allowed to eat truma. If you eat truma, so you do bishogeg, you have to compensate keren v'chomesh, not only the principle for what you ate, but an additional fifth as a penalty. So the question is, are these things that you're eating, this apple cider, this extract from dates, is that called actual fruit or it's not? According to Rabbi Yezer, it's fruit, and therefore you're chayav to pay keren and the additional theft. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's not fruit at all, and therefore you're potter for paying the extra chomesh. So Amar le Ahumei Rabbanan le Rava Trima Mahu. So the Gemara says, Lo hava adatei de Rava mai kamer. Rava didn't know what Trima was, so they couldn't answer their question. So Yosef Ravina kamei de Rava. Amar le, the shumshime kamer? Oh, the kurtame kamer? Oh, the portane kamer? So he was trying to figure out what kind of Trima are we talking about here. Is it kurtame means like stuff that's ground up with saffron, certain type of herb, and you put wine into it also. Shumshume refers to like extracting the oil from sesame seeds, and purtzani means grinding up these grapes and mixing them in and letting the grapes ferment. So the Gemara says, Ad hachi v'hachi, aski Rava ledaiti. So Rava realized what they were talking about, because once Rava Gamliel said, oh, what kind of trima is it? So he realized, oh, it must be, this trima thing must have, you know, this certain kind of a mixture that has either grapes or sesame oil or one of those things. So the Gemara says, Amar lei, chashilta vade kamar, vad karta milsa. In other words, he was saying that in other words, he's saying because of Ravina, so he ended up remembering what the question was, and he says, because you asked me about that, so he says that I'm going to answer you the question. He says, hold on, Rabbi Asi, hi Tamri, shal truma mutter la, sos mehen trima. I'm sorry. Hi, truma mutter lasos mehen trima va'asur lasos mehen sheichar. So the din is, I could take these dates and of truma, I can make truma, this paste, this mixture that I'm allowed to make, but I'm not allowed to make beer out of dates. In the times of the Gemara, the majority of beer was made out of dates. That's why beer in the Gemara was not chametz for the most part, because it was made out of barley. So he says, therefore, he says, I'm allowed to make it into the truma, to the paste, but I can't make it into beer. Hilchasa tamrei va'avdinu truma mevarchin levayu borei priyit. So that's the din. If I make dates into truma, into this paste, So I have to make a bori priya. It's my taima. Because the trima retains the initial form of dates. That's why if you have chunky applesauce, you make a ha'itz on it. If my applesauce is ground up completely, I can't see any trace of the apple, then it's shago, right? But here, in other words, the point is the trima, the paste, if I can see traces of the dates in it, so it's still ha'itz. But if I grind it up to the point that I can't see anything, it's completely crushed up. The same question about potato kola, right? You make hadama if the potatoes are still in the mixture, haven't been crushed up completely, then it's hadama. Otherwise, it's going to be shahako. What about shesisa? What bracha do you make on shesisa? So what exactly is this? So Rashi says that shesisa means some sort of a food that was made with ground up flour that was dried up in an oven when the kernels of wheat were still moist. So Rav Amar shahakol li abed varo, Shmuel Amar bori mi nei mizros. Amar chesav lo plige, haba ava, haba rak. It depends if the shesisa is thick or thin. So ava la achila avdele, rakul refu kamdele. So if it's thick, it's meant for eating, and therefore the bracha should be mizros. But if it's thin, it's meant for refu purposes, and then it should be shahakol. So Masiv Rav Yosef Vishav, and everybody agrees Shabochashin es hashasos b'shabes Vishosin zesom hamitri. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to mix the shasos, this shesisa on Shabbos, meaning to say you could use it for refuah purposes on Shabbos, because again it doesn't look like refuah. Remember we talked about yesterday that if I put the pill inside of the other mixture, inside of the beet juice, so then I'm allowed to drink it on Shabbos because it's not clear that I'm doing it for refuah. It looks like I'm just drinking beet juice, right? So here too I can mix this mixture on Shabbos because it doesn't look like I'm doing it specifically for refuah purposes. Also, you can drink zesom hamitzri, which Rabbi Shlomo talks about some sort of a mixture. I could drink zesom hamitzri, which also apparently is used for refuah. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Isn't refuah a problem on Shabbos? What do you mean? But you don't hold that it's mutter to do this. A person is allowed to eat a drink. Right? Let's say a person has a sore throat and they want to eat chicken too much on Shabbos. That's not called refuah. That's food. Right? So I'm allowed to eat chicken too, even if I'm not feeling well on Shabbos. That's totally fine. Right, so he says, Ella Mayas Lachalat Mamer, Gavra Lachilu Kamachavin. Hakanami Gavra Lachilu Kamacham. So clearly it depends on what the person's intention is. The person's intending to eat the food that has the status of food. And the bracha is going to be adjusted accordingly based on what your intention is. Lishna Acharin, another version of the Gemara. Ella Mayas Lachalat Mamer, what are you going to say? Gavra Lachilu Kamachavin, Urufu Mamela Kahavi. Hakanami Lachilu Kamachavin, Urufu Mamela Kahavi. So in other words, the person wants to eat. And yeah, so the person eats chicken soup, so he'll feel better. But that only happens passively. So it's not his, you know, there's, even if that's his intention, right? It's not going to matter because his real focus is to eat the food. Utsricha. Utsricha derav. The imeha, if we only mehai, if we only understand it, have a mitzvah lachil kamachavin refu mamela kahavia. Aval haga give lachachil refu kamachavin lo liver chali klal. I would have said that if my intention is just for refuah purposes, even if it's real food, so maybe I should not make a bracha. Let's say my intention to eat chicken soup is to heal my sore throat. So one could have argued, I don't make a bracha on the chicken soup in that case. No. Kamash v'lo, give it to islay hanam yinei, bai baruch. Since you're getting hanam from that, therefore you have to make a bracha no matter what. Then we said in the Mishnah Shalah, pass over hamotzi. You make a hamotzi on bread. Tana rabbanan. Mahu omer. So the machlok is what the proper nusach of the bracha is. So what we say is hamotzi lechem in aretz. No, he says you just say motzi lechem in aretz, without the extra hay. Amar Rava, b'motzi kuli amalok pligi da apik mashma dechzev kel motzi ami mitzrayim. Everyone agrees that the word motzi implies that something is being taken out. In other words, that something was already taken out, and therefore, at least b'di'eved, if you say motzi lechem min ha'aretz, that would definitely be a good bracha, at least b'di'eved, because that implies something that has already happened. You're getting hanaf from. That's the pasuk in Parshas Balak. Ki plige b'hamotzi. Rabbanan Tzavri, hamotzi da'apik mashu dechzev, hamotzi lechamayim mitzur ha'chalamish. Rabbanan also think that the word hamotzi implies something that's being extracted, that's being taken out. Like we see from this pasuk that says that he took out the water from the spring, from the rock. Rabbi Nechemiah Savar Hamotzi Demapik Mashmi. He says no. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, the word Hamotzi implies something that is going to be taken out in the future. Shenemar Hamotzi Eschem Itachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Like Hashem is going to take us out from Mitzrayim. So according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the word Hamotzi is not a good word. You have to use the word Motzi. Motzi means that it's already been taken out of the ground. Hamotzi means it's going to be taken out in the future. That's not a good bracha. So the Gemara says, so what are the Rabbanan do with that pasuk? So Hahu Hachi Kamar Lukutch Brichul Yisrael. Hashem was saying to Kad Mabkira Luchu. When I take you out, Avitna Luchu Milsa Kihechid Diadisu. I'm going to do something whereby you are going to know that I was the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. Hashem says, you're going to know that I'm the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, Mishtabchen le Rabbanan le Rabbi Zera as Barav Zvid Achoy der Shimon Barav Zvid Dodam Gadalu Ubaki Bebrachosu. So they praised, the Rabbanan praised Rav Shimon Barav Zvid that he was a big Bucky in Hilchos Brachos. So Amar Lehem, When he comes to you, have you huliyah, they bring him to me. Zimnachada ikla legabe apikule rifta. So they brought him a piece of bread. Pasak v'amar motzi. So instead of saying ha motzi lechem, he said motzi lechem in arts. Amar zeu shomer lo adam gadol who bucket brachos. He said this guy is a bucket brachos. He made the wrong bracha. Bishlama I amar ha motzi ashmiina time of ashmiina dehuchsa krabanan. If he had said ha motzi, so I would understand the reasoning and also understand the fact that the pasuk says ha motzi eschem itachas elos mitzrayim. That would have made a lot of sense if he said ha motzi. But ela de amar motzi mai. So kamash. So in other words, ela de amar motzi mai kamash balut. So in other words, you see, ela de amar motzi mai kamash balut. What's the chiddush of the person who says motzi? If everybody agrees that motzi is, you can be yosef. In other words, if Taina was, he says, this guy you claimed was such a big bucket, hilchos brachos. He, in other words, he played it safe. He said motzi. Everyone agrees that you're yosef with the word motzi. So he says, I thought the guy was a big bucket, hilchos brachos. Would dafka show me a chiddush? You'd say ha motzi. Show me that I'm yosef even with that. So the ihud. So how come he said motzi and not ha motzi? So the word says no. The ihud da'avad la'afukirash mi plugta. He wanted to avoid machlokas. He wanted to follow the sheet that everyone agrees to. But the Gemara ends up saying, but the Maaseh, it's not true. As we all know, ha motzi lechem inaretz, the kavel k'rabbanan, d'amri d'afik mashmah. We pass it to Rabbanan, and therefore the appropriate bracha is, of course, ha motzi and not motzi. Va'al ha'yirako, so bread machokas in the Mishnah, what bracha become vegetable? So we pass it, you make bori pri adava. Rabbi Yehuda holds, as I mentioned before, you make a bori mine d'shaim. So the Gemara says, katani yirako's dumi d'pas. The Mishnah links vegetables and bread together. So ma pas shenishtana ayidei ha'ur, av yirako nami shenishtana ayidei ha'ur. So the Gemara says, just like bread goes from being raw wheat or raw barley into bread through the fire, right? Cooking it, you make it into actual bread. So vegetables also are going to change when you cook them. So Amar Rav Naim Mishmei Dabai, Zosomer, this teaches you, shalakos mevarchan alei bori priyadam, alei bori priyadam. So if I have cooked vegetables, right, so then you're going to make a bori priyadam. So the Gemara says, one second, Darash Rav Chista Mishem Rabbeinu, Manu Rav, shalakos mevarchan alei bori priyadam. So that's Rav Shita. For Rabbi Sinu, Hayordin Merit, Israel, Manu, Ulam, Mishmei, Rabbi Yochan, Amar, Shlokas, Mar, Alin, Shakol, Yemen, Varu. Vani, Omer, so I say to Metz, Kosher, Tchilas, Amar, Priya, Dama, Shlokas, Shakol, Yemen, Varu. So whatever started as Hadama, whatever was a vegetable that was Hadama before, so by cooking it, you're demoting it to a Shahako. But on the other hand, Kosher, Tchilas, Shakol, Yemen, Varu, if something was a Shahako to begin with, so then Shloko, Bore, Priya, Dama. So then if I cook it, it goes up. It goes up to a Hadama by cooking it. So the question, one second. Bishlam kosher tchilas shahakol dimi varish lagom bari priyadama meshkachas leve karva vesilk of a kara. So I can find you a situation where something started out shahakol, then by cooking it becomes adama. For example, if you have certain types of beets and gourds and things like that. But ela kosher tchilas bari priyadama shalko shahakol heikam meshkachas. So what's the case if something starts out as adama and then by cooking it becomes shahakol? What's that case? So I'm Rav Nachman bringing it to meshkachas la betumi vekarte. By certain types of like garlic, garlic cloves and leeks and things of that nature. So those things apparently are going to become shahako when you cook them. So Darash Rav Nachman, Shem Rabbeinu, Manu Shmuel, Shlokos Mevarchan Alei Bori Pri Adama, V'Chaverinu Hayordin Meretz Yisrael, Manu Ula Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Shlokos Mevarchan Alei Shahako Mevarch. So again, same machlokas, is it shahako or adama? Cooked vegetables. V'Ani Omer B'Machlokas Shenuya. It depends on the following machlokas. The Sadi, the Brisa says the following: Yotzin Berakik Hashari Uve Mevushal Shaloni Moach Devar Rameir. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yotzin Berakik Hashari Avelo B'Mevushal Afal Pi Shaloni. So the machlokas regarding matzah. Can I be yotze matzah with a wafer which is soaked in liquid? Right. So what's the problem with that? So the simple understanding, or let's say it's cooked. Or let's say I'm cooking the wafer. So now can I be yotze matzah with that? So according to Rabbi Yossi, he says you can be yotze with that with something which is mevushal because this way as long as it doesn't dissolve. According to Rabbi Yossi, he says you can only be yotze with a wafer that's soaking in the water, but not with one that's cooked, even if it hasn't dissolved yet. You can't be yotze with that. The simple understanding of this price is that it's based on the issue of tam matzah. So when I cook something, if I cook matzah, so it's going to lose the flavor of regular matzah. I think Gemara says I'm sucking. Sorry, but there's a requirement. There's a din that matzah they have to taste the flavor of the matzah. So the Gemara says lachora then. This machlokas depends on this issue also, because according to Rav Meir, if something is cooked, so then it retains. In other words, I can be yotzei matzah even if it dissolves. So that would imply that it retains its original bracha. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, when something is cooked, so it gets demoted, which would therefore imply that it's also not. In other words, I can't be yotzei matzah. Therefore, implies that the bracha is going to go down a level. But the Gemara says below, it's not really true. The kuliyama. Everyone agrees that on cooked vegetables to make hadama. Like we pointed out before, that the reason why Rabbi Yossi knows you're not yotzi with cooked wafers, with cooked matzah, is because you have to make a bori pri adama. Right? It's because he holds that you're lacking ta matzah. But here, maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree that the bracha stays the same. Meaning, yes, Rabbi Yossi knows that you're not yotzi matzah with the cooked wafer, but he may say that you still make hadama even on a cooked vegetable. Ula established this incorrect din based on, in other words, he quoted this din incorrectly, and he paskin that it should be shahako. So the Gemara says, he says, what on earth are these two people doing with each other? Says Rabbi Ben Yom Bar Yefes wasn't so careful about the way that he heard things from Rabbi and how he reported things, but we know that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was exceptionally careful about the way that he reported things he heard from his Rabbi. He used to chazer his learning every 30 days in front of Rabbi Yochanan to make sure he knew it. He didn't do that. Aside from all that, there was some sort of a bean that they cooked seven times in a pot, and he ate it as part of dessert. So Rabbi Yochanan said to make a boy Priya Dama on that. So how on earth could Rabbi Chiya say to make a shakal? Va'od Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Anir Isias Rabbi Yochanan shakal Zayas Maliach. I saw Rabbi Yochanan eating a salted olive. Who Baruch Alav Tchila V'Sof. He made a bracha Rishon and bracha Achrona. So Iyam Rabbi Shlomo Shlakos B'Mil Sayu Kaimei. So if you're going to tell me that when I cook a vegetable, I cook a fruit, it retains its initial bracha. So B'Tchila Mavarich Alav Bori Priya Eitz V'Sof Mavarich Alav Bracha Achas Miyachos Mika Ha'Eitz and an Al Ha'Eitz. Right? That makes sense. But Eliyam Rabbi Shlakos La'Mil Sayu Kaimei. If you're going to tell me that when I cook a vegetable, it goes down a bracha. So B'Tchila Mavarich Alav Shakol Yibidvaru. So fine. So I can make a shahakol on the cooked olive. But El Levasov by Mavarich. What are you going to make as a bracha Achrona? So the Gemara says, no, what do you mean? You'll make a Bori Nefesh. That'll be the bracha Achrona. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Yerako Shadam Yotze Bani Dechol Atzim Pesach, Yotze Bahen, Uve Kelach Shalahen, Avalo Kivushin, Velo Shlukin Lemushan. Let's say we're talking about Maror. So which vegetables work for? So the Mishnah and Pesach discuss what vegetables work for Maror, right? So the Gemara says, any vegetable that works for Maror, so he says, you can also not only use the Maror itself, but you can use the stem of the Maror as well. That would also be good. But if I pickle the maror, or I cook the maror, or I either cook it or I stew it up, so then I'm not yotzi maror. So I don't understand. If cooking vegetables retains the bracha, why can't I be yotzi maror with cooked maror? He says, no, shiny awesome to be in a town maror valik, because again, you have to taste the bitterness of the maror. When I cook the maror, it loses all the bitterness. Going back to the previous story of the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yochanan make a bracha on a salted olive? Once you take away the pit of the olive, it's no longer the proper shear. The proper shear is, funnily enough, an olive. So an olive includes the pit. But so by taking the pit out, by definition, you have less than a shear. So Amar Lei says, Misfaras Kezayas Gadobinan, Kezayas Bidanibin. No, you don't need a big olive, you need a small olive. So he was using a big olive, right? So by taking the pit out, it was still large enough for a medium olive. He brought a large olive. Even though he took out the pit, but it was still big enough for the rest of the shear. This non, Zayas Shamar Lokatav Logadobin, it's an average size. It's called an aguri, it's an average size olive. The oil is like saturated inside of the olive. So the name of Kitter, let's say it's like the following. There was two talmidim sitting in front of Bar Kapara. They brought out cabbage. Durmaskin are these types of we'll call them cooked herbs of sorts, and pargio is chicken. So doesn't Bar Kapara rishus la'achad me'al levarich, so he gave permission to one of the Talmudim to make a bracha. So the Gemara says, kava tzubirich ala pargios. So he went ahead and made a bracha on the chicken. So the chicken is shahakol, so that presumably should not get the first bracha, right? The other stuff, which are adama ha'eitz, should come first. The Gemara says, lig lig alav chaviro. The other Talmud made fun of this Talmud for making a bracha on the chicken first, right? So the Gemara says, kaz Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara got angry. Amar lo alav mevarich anikos. I'm not angry at the guy who made the wrong bracha first. Ela al hamalagli anikos. I'm angry at the guy who made fun of it. Im chaviricha doma kemishin lo tam basar me'olam. Atam al lig lagta. Let's say your friend had never eaten meat and had never eaten chicken before in his life. So what are you making fun of him for, right? In other words, maybe the meat, the chicken, was so chaviv to him, he was so precious to him, so he wanted to make the bracha on that first. So the Gemara says, Chazar v'amar lo amalag lagani kois, and he says, no, I'm not angry at the guy who made fun of him, alal mevarichani kois. So Amar, im chachma inkan, zikna inkan. He says, if there's no chachma here, then there's no zikna here. What does that mean? So Rashi says that they should have asked the shayla before they did that, right? In other words, before you're going to go ahead and make a bracha, saying, well, you're not sure which bracha should come first, at least ask the shayla. He says, I'm the Rebbe, I'm sitting here, at least ask me what the bracha should be. So Gemara says, Tadu shnei lohotziu, shnei lohotziu shnasa. Neither of those two students lived out their years. So Gemara says, my wabah, come if we get the mevarich sarv shlokos, who pargio shakol di mevaro, hilkach chav v'adif, v'malagik sarv shlokos, bori pri adama, pargio shakol di mevaro, hilkach perod. So lechor, what were they arguing about, these two students? One Talmud thought that cooked vegetables are going to be shahakol, and therefore it's just a trade-off between the cooked vegetables and the chicken. So he liked the chicken more, he's making shahakol. The guy made fun of it and thought, no, cooked vegetables are really hadama, therefore you always follow hadama over shahakol, even if the shahakol is more chavitz. The Gemara says, well, that's not what they were arguing about. Everyone agrees that cooked vegetables are also shahakol. So then what was the problem? So why can't he make a bracha on chicken? The argument about the following. The question is, what do we give precedence to? On the one hand, do we say the thing which is more chavitz, so the guy likes chicken more, make the bracha on that first? Or maybe no. Maybe the thing which fills you up more. So a crew of the leeks, the cabbages, apparently are worth filling. Therefore, you make a bracha on that. Amram Zera, Kiavina Be Ravuna, Amarlan, Hani Gargilde de Lifta, Parmenu Prima. If I have these turnips, right, that were on the edge of the ground, so he says, you can chop up the turnips and make them into a salad. Rava, Prima, Rava Bori Priyadama, Parmenu Prima, Rabba Bori Priyadama, Prima Zuta, Shahakol Yem Devaro. So if you chop up the turnips into large pieces, you make a Hadama. If you chop up into small pieces, you make a Shahakol. So the Gemara says, "Chiasan levei Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lan idi bori prada." So no, either way you make hadama. V'haydin parminu tvei. Well, so why are you chopping it up so much? Ki hechi denamti tami, so that the sweetness of the turnip comes out even more. Amar Rav Ashi, Kiavina be Rav Kahana Amar Lan tavshila de silka de lo mavshu ba kimcha bori priadama. If I have a dish made of beets where I did not put in so much flour, you make hadama because it's based on the beets. But to lift the mavshu ba kimcha, if I have a turnip dish where there's a lot of flour, kimcha tvei, then you make a bori minim mezonos. But v'hadar Amar, no, it's not true. Idi vidi bori priadama. So why do I put in so much flour into it? Just simply to hold it together. It's just a famous question about what bracha makes on Twizzlers, right? Because Twizzlers has a lot of flour in it, but the flour may just be there to hold it together. So therefore, it could still be shakol, right? Certain cereals, the flour, for example, is there to add flavor, or to add texture. So, for example, on Fruit Loops and Apple Jacks, you make a mezonos. But if you have flour, which is just there to hold it together, let's say on Captain Crunch, so there you would only make a shakol. So the Gemara says, "Amar Chista, Tavshu Shal Trudin Yafel Alei V'Tov Le'Inayim, the Kol Shekiv Le'Nei Me'Ayim." If I have a dish made of beets, so that's good for your heart, it's good for your eyes, and certainly for your intestines. Amar Rabbi Avudi Yosef, Abe Tapei V'Avit Toch Toch. That's provided. It's only going to be good for you if it's sitting on a pot and it's making this bubbling sound. Toch Toch. It's like an onomatopoeia. It's like it's dropping into the pot. In other words, if it's cooking, so then it's going to be good. Amar Papa Pshitali Maya De Silka Kesilka Umaya De Lifta Kelifta Umaya De Kulushake Kulushake. In other words, it's obvious to me that beet juice or turnip juice or really juice or liquid of any cooked vegetable has the status of something cooked, and therefore lechora you should make a bori priadama. Bayra Papa Maya De Shifta Mai. What about the juices of shifta? Shifta is some sort of a vegetable that you cooked in order. It was basically some sort of a spice that you used to sweeten the pot. It was a vegetable. So do we say Lumatuke Taima Avde Ola Avure Zuama Avde? Is it to sweeten in the vegetable, the pot, therefore you make hadama, or maybe just to remove the filth around the pot, therefore you make a shahakol. So it says tashma, hasheves yishanas tatami kedera in bam yishim truma ve'in metama tamasochut. So with the sheves, this kind of a vegetable you're using to sweeten up a pot, so once it adds flavor into the pot, so then there's no more violation of truma. Let's say the sheves was made of truma, so eating that sheves once it's cooked in the pot is not going to be a violation of truma, and it's also not metame tamasochut because it's not a food anymore. Now it's considered to be part of the pot. So shema mina lematuke taima. So you see, therefore, that this stuff is just here to sweeten the pot, and therefore the bracha should really be hadama. Amar Chia Barashi, pas tsenuma bakeara mevarchen alei hamotzi. If I have dried up bread in a pot, right? So there you make hamotzi. Upligid Rav Chia, dam Rav Chia, sarech shetich lebracha im hapas. According to Rav Chia, you have to finish the bracha of hamotzi right before you're breaking the bread. This bread, because it's so dried up, is already broken. It's always going to be broken, right? It's always going to crumble, and therefore that's against what Rabbi Chia says. So the Gemara says, "One second, ask if La Rava, Ma'ishna Tzenuma Delo. Why does the Gemara only sing on dried bread? You shouldn't the Chikalia Bracha Aprusu Kakalia. You have to finish the bracha when you break the bread. So Al Hapas Nami Kika Gamra Aprusu Kabi. You have to finish it when the bread is also whole. You have to make up the hamotzi when you're going to break the bread. So Ella Amar Rava, Mevarich La'Chakar Potzi. So Rava says, make the hamotzi and then you break the bread. My mother told me, Avuch Avid Kirchi, your father followed Ramchia, Dam Ramchia, Sarah Shatik La Bracha Mapas. You have to finish the hamotzi together with the bread. We make hamotzi, and then afterwards, we break the bread. Tosos points out over here that you're supposed to put all 10 fingers on the bread when you make the bracha. You make hamotzi because there are 10 second words in the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem et Aretz. And you're supposed to make sure you emphasize the words carefully and that you don't slur Lechem and Min, because those two words end and start with the same letter. Like we saw in the first bracha by Shema, right? The certain words you have to make sure not to slur together. So Lechem and Min, you also have to be careful to separate. Okay. Shkach.